When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
It's the final edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad. Thank you so much for tuning in. And Magic fans, the Florida Department of Transportation reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. If you've been drinking, don't get behind the wheel. Instead, find a sober driver or catch a ride service. Remember, drive sober or get pulled over. Have a great night and drive safe. Lots to get into as we recap the season 33 of Orlando Magic basketball. Team finishes 22-60, but a lot of positives out of this season, and we cover all of them. Who are some of the Magic players that maybe outperformed expectations? Who are some of the players that gave management something to think about this year? How did the rookies fare this season? And how about the outstanding job Magic head coach Jamal Mosley did keeping this whole thing together? What lies ahead for the Magic team here during the offseason? And, of course, a big day coming on May 17th as we find out where the Magic will draft in the upcoming NBA draft. So lots to get to as we close out season 33 of Magic Basketball and season 5 of Orlando Magic Pod Squad. Thanks for tuning in.
This is Jalen Suggs of the Orlando Magic.
This is Jonathan Isaac.
This is Mo Bamba.
This is Cole Anthony.
This is Franz Wagner of the Orlando Magic, and this is the Pod Squad.
And welcome everyone to another edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad, the final Magic Pod Squad for the final game of the 33rd season in Orlando Magic history. Dante Marcatelli, David Steele, Jeff Turner, George Galante, all here with you to recap this season. And guys, I don't know if you know this. This is episode 180 of Orlando Magic Pod Squad. Can you believe that?
Is that right?
100. Yes. Over.
You're keeping track?
We're finishing season 5 of Magic Pod Squad as we close out season 33 of Magic Basketball. And I'm surprised you don't know, because the royalties are just flooding. And I'm sorry.
I haven't seen any of that. Have you, Jeff?
No, I haven't, David. I think we might need to make sure they have our proper mailing address or something to make sure those checks are coming.
Yeah, we'll have to check
it. Dante,
I've gone to George.
The good thing, if you're watching this on YouTube, the scenery where David and Jeff are is a lot. I mean, it's a lot nicer than where we are, but that's okay. That's all right.
Did you guys wait like 45 minutes to get out of town, or how long did you?
No, the next morning, Monday morning.
Were you guys even on the call in the fourth quarter? Now that I'm thinking about it, I got to.
Yeah, we were there.
Okay.
Yeah, we were there.
We were not going to miss the finish of that.
Well, we'll talk about
that. Was pretty good.
I do want to talk about something that came up during that game with you guys once we get there. So.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, listen, guys, I want to start with this. At the end of it, we love what we do. We love the team. We love the organization, the fans, everything that comes with it. And when the season ends, there's always sadness, at the end of a season. I don't know that I felt that as much this year. I think when the season came to a close, speaking for myself, I was kind of ready. But David, you've seen them all 33 seasons. How did you feel when you put season 33 in the books?
Yeah, I felt good about it. I felt like we, as broadcasters brought a great effort every broadcast. Mm-hmm. I feel like we did our jobs well this season, and I feel like the team likewise did the best that they could do, given the circumstances and given all the things that happened throughout the year. And, I felt like, having seen all of these seasons come to an end 33 times now, the Magic teams that were not going to the playoffs, this one had a little different feel at the end of it. There's more hope. There's more energy. There's more excitement. And I think it's because there's a core that's coming back that we know, you know, is the foundation of the franchise going forward. And we're pretty excited about those individual players. We're excited about Coach Mosley. We love his staff. We love what he's done. And we, you know, I think we all, players and us, everybody close to the program. And I'm sure the fans feel this too. There's a sense of optimism, which makes it, you know, a little easier to accept going into the off season. But, you know, it was a long year. I felt like we did our jobs, the team, everybody did what they were supposed to do. And now we're going to get charged up and get raring to go back for season number 34.
So I'll tell you guys a really funny story. Right after the game was over the other night, you know, David's grandsons love to come to the games. They're big Magic fans. And yeah. So Cole, one of his grandsons, looked at me after I take my headset off and said, "Are you happy or sad right now?"
He did.
And it hit me, really, you know, and I was like, because I had a smile on my face. And I said, "Well, Cole, what are you?" And he said, "I'm really sad. I really like coming to the games." And I said, "Yeah, I know how you feel." I said, "But I'm kind of happy because next year we're going to be really good." Yes. And, you know, and I think David's right. I think the feeling coming down the stretch, even though you're not in the playoffs and it's a grind for us, you know, night in and night out, you do feel like there's something special on the horizon. So maybe Cole saw that better than I did. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's
no,
right.
He just likes all, but mainly it's the food, you know, and stuff. And
he wants us.
No, he likes the basketball too. You know how kids are.
Yeah. We still got to find a way to
although,
get
it. Although he said, "I think this is the first game that I've been to that we won." So he was pretty
pumped. Yeah, he told me that too. He was excited.
Well, I tell you what, I will say this. There was something about, you know, president of basketball operations, Jeff Weltman, was on with Mike Bianchi this morning. And he said, you know, this was a year we knew we were going to take our lumps, and we took our lumps. I think that's when we mentioned the season and how long it was, I think that's what we're referring to. You know, there were certainly some the injuries, COVID, everything that you had to overcome. And it feels like five seasons all in one. But everything you guys are saying is right. There's so much optimism and excitement for next year. And I think what blew my mind, and sitting next to George at the end of the season, when we talked about it a couple of times, this is a team that had 17, 18, 19 wins at the time. And the energy in that gym, the energy in Amway Center every night down the stretch, the last quarter of the season, was electric. I mean, and you couldn't help but get caught up in it. I mean, I think to you guys' point, all the excitement that you feel and that we feel moving forward, you know, because that's what we'll do. We're not looking back. We're just going to look forward from now on. I think fans felt the same way. Is that fair? I think you could feel it in the building.
I think so. I mean, we said it. You just said it there. How many times did I look at you and I looked around and I couldn't believe that there was that much excitement and energy and just pure joy to watch those guys play. And I looked at you a couple of times and I said, "We're 21-60, right? Going into this game, like we've only won 21 games, but right. You're right. Like there's something, maybe JT and David can put their finger on it better than I can. There definitely is something when you look at this group and you look at, I mean, Coach Mosley has to get a ton of credit for the way that these guys approached every game and the joy for every, I mean, even every possession, looking at the bench, coaches are up and players are up. And I don't know. It was just different. Like we've been a part of teams that have been worse than this record wise. And you didn't feel this way going into the end. So I kudos to everybody involved. And it's hard to say when you have a team that was 22-60 that they exceeded expectations. But I think from my seat, I would have never thought we were going to get to 22-60. I really didn't. I thought things.
Mr. Positive. He's all Mr. Positive.
I just at the beginning of the year, I just looked at where we were and just said, "Wow, I told you guys, like I'm looking up worst record in franchise history. I'm just to be honest." And I knew it was 18. And I've said to multiple people, I'm like, "I don't think we can get there. I just don't think we can get there." But these guys kept working. Coach Mosley had them connected. He kept them connected for 7 months and it showed at the end. Like it was fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah. I think what you see is it's so obvious. The players, they really do connect with each other and with the coaching staff. So there's a chemistry there that's pretty special. And I think the return of Markelle Fultz has a lot to do with it too. Those last 6 or 8 weeks of the season, how good he was. You can see that when he's on the floor, it just looks different. Everything is elevated. And then you've got the other pieces around him that are young and developing and are going to continue to get better and better, because we know how hard those individuals work and how tied together they are as a group. So, you know, there's good reason for optimism. It's not phony. It's not something that we're just saying just because we're looking for positive things to talk about at the end of a long season. It's true. I mean, it's obvious that it's there. Right. And I think that the fans know that. I think that's why the energy was so good throughout the year.
Can we break, now that you brought up Markelle, can, this is what I wanted to touch on. So the game is going on, game 82.
That was, you know, so good.
Markelle has, you know, hovered around anywhere from 19 to 22 minutes. And then all of a sudden I see JT holding up a piece of paper as Coach Mosley goes by, and I'm like, what is he doing with the paper? Is he, maybe he's saying hi to somebody at home, his wife, daughters, maybe somebody's watching. He said, yeah,
to make somebody laugh. Maybe.
Right, yeah. There was an inside joke that I just, you know, normally I'm in on the inside jokes. I'm like, I wonder what this, but, and then I see that it says free Markelle.
That was so good.
And then he played 30 something minutes, or, you know, 31 minutes. Like that, JT, you could have brought that out maybe a couple of weeks earlier. Maybe we could have seen more than 30 minutes from Markelle.
You know, it's funny, George. David, you probably didn't get a chance to see in our open. David and I were, you know, talking about Markelle like we had done the last 10 games, I guess. And, you know, we were talking about how, you know, well, he's been playing. I think David, you know, made the statement, you know, like, it's the last game of the year. You know, why can't he play more than 20 minutes?
I totally ad-libbed, at the last minute. That line, yeah, let's just see him for 40 minutes. Can we just see Markelle for 40 minutes?
And you guys know that wherever David leads me, I follow right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why he's Magellan.
I just kind of just said, you know what? I'm going to try to make that happen. So Markelle played.
Now, you did the sign you did on your own. You can't.
Oh, I did.
I didn't lead you. That was all Jeff Turner.
Well, I just figured I was on air, so I'm not going to be able to, you know, yell at Jamal and say, hey, play Markelle Moore or something. And I thought, well, how can I do this subtly and get my message across? And so, I don't know, I just, you know, free Markelle. He saw it, and he kind of shook his head, like, kind of just that to me. And I was like, okay, well, we'll see. That was first half.
The good thing though, guys, is that, like, and you guys know, because we sit close to each other pretty much everywhere we go, you know, he's been very aware of, you know, asking one of us that's sitting there how many minutes, you know, because we have the live statistics in front of us on a monitor, and he's very, very aware of when he's approaching the, you know, clearly his magic number was anywhere from 19 to 22, and he, you know, 3-4 times a game, he's like, oh, where's he at? And the other night he didn't say it at all. And I was like, okay, good. This is good. I like it. Yeah. I'm looking down and he has 26 minutes. I'm like, I don't think he's going to ask. This is great. Let him go. Yeah. Let him go.
He stopped looking at me for those minutes, George, because I lied to him a few times.
I told Dante a couple of times, I said, listen, if he asks me again, I'm going to say 11. Like, he's at 22.
I'm definitely going to say he's at 11.
That for sure. For sure.
But I think that speaks to him, doesn't it? I mean, that you guys got to see him more than I did. You guys spent a lot of time with him on the road. And I think it'd be interesting for fans to hear the kind of the Jamal Mosley that you guys saw, right? Outside of the games and off the basketball court and in the lobbies and at dinners or whatever. I mean, did he ever break unwavering optimism the entire way? I mean, he's just an incredible human being, isn't he?
Never. No,
he is.
Unbelievable. Go ahead, David.
He is. Yeah, no, I was just going to say, you're talking about the kind of person he is. And we had a segment in the pregame show, Dante, with you and Brian Hill talked about Jamal Mosley. And then, you know, I followed it up with when you first meet him, he appears so sincere, so genuine, and so interested in you. You know, that's the first thing he does. Yes, is he shows an interest in who you are. And, you know, it's so unusual. I mean, it really is, to see somebody in that type of position, a prominent head coaching role in the NBA, to have that kind of attitude. And so I kept waiting to see something else, you know, because it is rather unusual to see that personality, but that's who he is. I mean, it was every day, every time you saw him, every time you had a conversation with him. He's humble. He's a guy that just wants the best for everybody. He's not a me first type of guy at all. And, you know, it just comes across. I mean, it oozes through. I think you can tell when you're around him. Certainly you can tell. But I think even fans can get a sense of what kind of person he is. And the players absolutely love playing for the guy. So, he's a special guy for sure, Jeff. Your thoughts? I know you feel the same way. We've talked about it all year.
Absolutely, David. You know, he was so good to us. There was no question we couldn't ask him. He would stop, you know, and ask you, you know, what do you think or something. He's, you know, the best way I can describe him is, you know, over the years, you know, just studying leaders and different leadership philosophy. He is a servant leader. He puts everybody first around him. That's his players, his staff. Guys, he will not get off a bus. He will not get off a plane, whatever it is. You guys know this, you've seen it, until everybody else is off. Everybody goes first. You know what I mean? It's just
impressive, because for those that don't know, it's a race to get off the bus and plane, and we're always held to the end.
It's a little thing. It really doesn't matter you know, when you get off, but it's just him. That's who he is. I had I was on one of the last buses with him, late in the season. And I was messing around in my bag. The players had all gotten off and he was still on, and I didn't get up, and he didn't see me. And he stood up, he was almost off the bus, guys. And he turned around, he saw me. He said, "Oh no. He got back. He
moved back
on the bus and said, I said, "Jamal, it doesn't matter." And he said, "It does to me." And I mean, that's just who he is. You know, he's just, he's just an unbelievable human being, as David said. Yep. And a pretty good basketball coach. Darn good basketball coach too.
And that's a great point too. You know, you could be the greatest person you want. If you can't coach, it's going to be short lived, but he's a great coach, and he's got everything that you need and the perfect guy to move forward with. The first event I did with him, was out at a Magic partner, and he showed up and he forgot that he didn't have his dress shoes. And so he got out, went to the back of the car, and he just had his sneakers on, and it bothered him. And I said, "You head coach, nobody's going to matter. You know, it's nobody's going to care. It's not going to matter. You can just wear your sneakers. It's not going to be a big deal." And he said, "Well, you said, Jeff, it matters to me, you know?" Yeah. And I think that, you know, he has a certain way that he goes about things, and it's awesome. It's very refreshing. And I think that bodes well for this team moving forward, for sure.
You know, I want to, before we move to somebody else, I want to add one more story, because he's from the minute he walked through the door, he always impressed me with how it would take him half of a day maybe to remember your name. And it's everybody. It's literally every person that he comes into contact with. It's an amazing trait that I wish that I had, and I do not. And
I think he also has that genuine care for people. I think,
I may not, is what you're saying. That's probably pretty accurate.
No, I'm not saying you don't.
Well, I'll admit it. It's fine. I took Coach Mosley in with David. Normally during the home games, Joel Glass is the one that takes Jamal everywhere he needs to go to get his obligations done pregame and postgame. And there was a game very late in the year where Joel was not there, and I took Jamal in to go talk with David for your pregame telecast recording. And I was in there and I watched him finish, and he's always great with David and you guys. And then as he's walking out there, you know, there's two or three crew members in the room with everybody. You know, it's a very small room, and you know, and he walks out and he thanked both of them by name without hesitation. And I was blown away. Like, these are guys that he comes into contact with for maybe what, David, 4 minutes a night.
Yeah, he did it every game.
Every night.
He thanked them. He said hi to him walking in the room. How are you guys doing? He remembered that guy was going to shoot golf or baseball the week before. How did it go?
Amazing. Unbelievable. I don't know how, you know, I I wish I could be more like him when it comes to that things. Cause there are things I remember. There's things with my relatives that I don't remember.
Yeah.
You know, sure. Like within a few days of somebody doing something. And this is somebody that he comes into. I mean, he's just, you don't get any more top shelf than Jamal Mosley. And I think that's the one thing during the off season last year that we definitely, you know, hit a home run on is Coach Mosley and his staff.
Well, we see players come over and talk to him every
night.
Right. Opposing players. He's made an impact on a lot of people.
Just a quick aside, we've had head coaches who didn't even know our names.
Yeah, true. Great point.
True. Very good
Radio.
Point.
Radio. Let's go.
Radio. Lefty. Radio. What, you know, whatever you make.
Chief.
Double up broadcasters. We've had that, right? No, I know it's been fun over the years, no question about it. But he's a sincere guy and the real deal. And you can see these guys will go. It's like the comment Rick Carlisle made is like, I just don't see his guys letting him fail. And I think so. I just think that's a great way to put it. And I think you saw that's why those guys played so hard and want to succeed. So now, if you can stay healthy, what does this summer look like? Right? I think they're gone for a couple of weeks, and then they all report back and they get right back into the gym. And they start working for next year. I'd take a little more time off, a couple of weeks, but that's what they're going to do and start that regimen back up again. And then now imagine a season, guys, where you go into training camp, you go into the preseason, and you go into the regular season with the healthy Markelle Fultz starting at the point guard position.
Like I said, I think it's a game changer, George.
Yeah, I look at there's three guys I particularly look at, and I'm sure everybody at you guys and Magic fans all across the board probably look at as, okay, this is something that I can grab onto and watch as this thing goes. And it's Markelle. And this is not to discount any of the other players on the roster. Obviously everybody's important, but Markelle and Franz Wagner and Wendell Carter Jr. And I can look at those three guys and say, okay, like this is a tangible core now that we can proceed with. And I think Franz exceeded everybody's expectations. I think Wendell continued to get better as we go. And to know that that's what we have potentially going into October of next year. Yeah. I mean, that definitely puts more of a smile on my face for next year than it probably did going into this year. I mean, I was in the tank pretty low, but watching these guys grow and develop, and then at the end, seeing what those three guys and then all the other complementary pieces that are around them, that's, like I said, not to discount anybody at all, but those three guys really have me excited for what's potentially to come down the road.
I think the exciting piece for me, based on what you guys we're just talking about, is that they want to get back in the gym so quickly together. You know, as you can see from watching this, David and I just couldn't wait to get out of town. So we're gone. So
you guys, I think you guys left the night of the 10th.
That's why I said, I don't think they were even there for the fourth quarter. I think it was like a hologram or something, or they were FaceTiming the game on the way home, on the way on the highway, something.
It's amazing. We were there.
But these guys, you know, I think they genuinely like being around each other, and they genuinely want to work together, which says something. Now, I think Franz said it best, is, you know, potential only gets you so far, right? There's a lot of work to be done individually, I think, on a lot of guys to improve their games. So, but it's exciting that they want to be in the gym together and do it in Orlando.
Jeff, I was just going to ask Jeff, as the analyst, the former player, the guy that can really break it down for us. What is it about those three guys, especially, that their games and the way that they potentially fit together that has George excited about the future? And, you know, I've already talked about it. We know how Dante feels too. You know, give us a little analysis of, you know, the way they play the game and why it gets you excited.
Well, you know, let me start with Markelle, just because, you know, I think if, you know, for our fans and those of us that, you know, we watched those last 18 games, things are different when he's on the court. It's his feel for the game, the way he understands it, his unselfishness, his ability to get wherever he wants to go. You know, there were times where his ball handling is like, I don't think we were really appreciated. There were times where I would be in my talkback trying to get our producer Ty to give me, you know, just a little snippet of his ball handling in traffic, but it's happened so fast. We, you know, you can't pull it out of a small segment. His ability to make everybody else better on the court, I think, is what excites me about Markel. I just think he lifts everybody up. And then you combine that, as George says, you look at those three guys with Franz's ability to play anywhere on the floor, moving without the basketball, the ball in his hands. If you get it to him in the right spot, he's going to make a play. His improvement, his competitiveness this year, were just, for such a young guy, just kind of blew me away. And then Wendell, you guys know, I've talked about him all season. He has a game that I have called old school, but yet I think it's a modern game. His ability to score from three levels is just really impressive. It's something that I think he didn't even know he could do. You know, David, I think you pointed it out in our pregame that he had some doubts, right? Like, you know, he couldn't build on success when he was with the Bulls, but I think he gets it now that he is a key part of what we're doing going forward. And I just think his ceiling is really high. All three of those guys. And as George says, you know, you don't want to single people out, but right. I think, you know, you look at the complementary players around them, and as they rise with those three, boy, you know, that's what gets me excited. I think we can win some games.
You know what, Dante, the other thing that gets me excited about those guys and with like Jalen Suggs and right. and Cole is they have this edge. They do have a little bit of an edge to them to where like these guys are tough. They play hard all the time. And we've had lots of guys come through that have had talent and don't play hard. Right. They don't give it their all. Markel is out there at the end of the year, game 82. We have nothing to play for. He's playing 32 minutes. Franz playing all, you know, he would have played all 82 if he didn't come down on those guys' ankles, right. you know, and as a rookie, you know, that guy is tough. Wendell showed a toughness that I'm not sure we maybe knew he had. And as the season got on, it came out more, especially when we played the Bulls. Like he played with this chip and this edge and this confidence that I wasn't sure that he had. So that those are the things. And Jalen is, you know, he's a football player. He has this mentality right. of he's going to go out and he's going to bust somebody's head off. You know, like it's this edge that I like. I like the way those guys go about playing the game.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you, but consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats. Even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Well, and I think we can touch on those two guys, you know, next, I think, because that's part of your backcourt as well. And all of a sudden you've got a jam full backcourt, which I think is a good problem to have. I don't think you can, and Coach Mosley will figure out a way to play everybody and who gets the minutes and where. But, you know, I think you look at Jalen Suggs, it was kind of a tale of two seasons. I think that it seemed like, and we thought it could be, that time off with the broken bone in his hand. And now he recommits himself to working and watching video and, you know, what did I do wrong? How can I get better? And he's talking to coaches on the sidelines. I mean, his end of the season was, the numbers weren't much different, but you could tell the difference in his game. Could you not, Jalen Suggs, what he learned with that timeout and what he applied for the end of the season. And now you take that going into next year, he could be a completely different looking player.
I think so. And I think he's going to be the most under the radar player for the Magic next year. I mean, there's so many good rookies in the NBA.
Yep.
He's totally forgotten right now. I mean, you're reading all of the rookie first team, second team. He's not in anybody's wheelhouse for any of those teams. He was hurt, you know, several times. He had the bad ankle, the thumb before that. So, you know, he missed a lot of games. But like you said, Dante, he's got that, and George, that football mentality, that toughness. Yeah. And he's going to figure things out. He's a smart guy. He's a hard worker. And I think he could take a big jump quickly next year. So he's going to be undersold. He's going to be under the radar. But watch out for Jalen Suggs. And we know that Cole is—he's not going to change. He's going to have that feisty attitude and that scorer's mentality. So you're going to have Cole Anthony coming back wanting to prove something too. So
that's right.
Yeah, those are two good pieces, no doubt about it.
Jeff, I want to get your thoughts on Cole real quick before we go on to the next thing. I don't think he finished the season the way he wanted to, and maybe he was playing through some injuries, and I think he had some kind of inconsistency, especially shooting the basketball. But we can't discredit the first quarter or third of the season where he was at 20 points a game, almost 7 rebounds, 5 assists. I mean, he was unbelievable at the start of the year, where I think people were talking, if he can sustain this, he'll be in the running for most improved. Like he'll be one of the contenders. I know. Did you feel it was injuries kind of derailed him a little bit? Do you feel it was – what do you think kind of got him off target? And he was searching. You could tell the last quarter, half of the season. What do you think happened there, and how does he get back on track?
I think you're absolutely right. I think the injuries kind of took their toll. We have to be honest. When, you know, Markel came back, that changed the distribution of the minutes a little bit. And, you know, I think that affected him a little bit as well. We got to remember – you know, Cole is very young as well, still trying to figure it out. So, like, for me, I don't really worry about the distribution of the minutes, you know, specifically when we're talking about how do you play, let's say, Cole, Jalen, and Markel. I think they bring different things to the table, obviously. Cole's thing is, and we say it all the time, Being a scorer your entire life, figuring out ways to just score points, that's a skill, right? That you learn that early in your life. You know, whether you're having a bad shooting night or whatever, you still look at it. Cole could be, you know, 3 of 12 from threes, and you could look up, he's still got 18, 19 points. Why?
Yes.
Because he can get to the rim. You know, he can get fouled. He understands that. You know, he can get in the mid-range. And so there's value in having a guy like that on through a long season. You got to have guys that can make, you know, get buckets really for you. Jalen brings a defensive tenacity that the other two don't possess. I think Jalen, you know, is one of those guys, and, you know, Brian Hill talks about it all the time. There are very few guys that can guard their man one-on-one, keep guys in front of him. Jalen, if not already, has the potential to be that going forward. And we talked about what Markel does as a leader. So, I think even though all three of them, you know, they want to be starters and they're going to be vying for minutes, I think they'll figure it out. And I think there's a place for all three of them because they all give us something we desperately need.
And we could go down every player and do all that. I think RJ's got a, you know, I think he showed some flashes, but I think he's got a ways to go, quite honestly. And I think this is a big summer for RJ to kind of iron out some consistency. Great story with Devin Kennedy, Iggy Schofield getting an opportunity. The Lakeland guys that came up and won a couple games in December was awesome. You know, maybe you see them at some point down the road. But I think, you know, two guys that might, you know, I think they, if you're them, you're trying to give management and your coach something to think about. And I think it was a very inconsistent year for Mo Bamba. And I don't think we saw, but you know, if we're being honest, I don't think we saw the burning fire on the defensive end all year like we had hoped, but we did see it at times and we did see enough of it and a glimpse of it. And I thought he was as good as anyone, guys, the last 6 weeks of the season. I thought he played, you know, there were times there were nights where he just didn't quite have it, but tell me if I'm wrong, but I think if you're Mo Bamba, did you do enough to give your front office something to think about here these last 6 weeks, namely the way you shot the basketball down the stretch?
Oh, I think so. I think he definitely did. I mean, he knocked down at his size, his ability to shoot the basketball. It's a special thing. You talked about Cole. That's a special talent that Cole Anthony has. Well, Mo Bamba has a special talent too. That's a sweet 3-point shot. And he also has elite shot blocking ability. So those are two primary skills that he possesses. He definitely gave the Magic and every other NBA team something to think about. And he's still 23 years old. So, yeah, there's still room for growth. He's going to be an NBA player for a long time. He's going to be a productive NBA player. And, you know, we're not privy to any of the behind-the-scenes negotiations or conversations about what his future is with the Magic. But your question, Dante, was did Mo Bamba do enough to give the front office a lot to think about? I think the obvious answer would be yes. Yes, he did.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's interesting, you know, before last season, you know, Mo Bamba talked about one of the things he had to do was he had to work on his conditioning, right? He had to get in better shape. And I think he did that. I felt like towards the end of the season at times that he had lost a little bit. He got a little, you know, tired. Yeah, David's right. His skill set is you can't question his skill set. Right. And I think, you know, as he gets older, you know, that Matt Lloyd says this all the time is that when you draft young bigs, you got to give them 5 years. Right. Mm-hmm. And so Mo, you know, it's going into his fifth year. For me, I think the big thing is, and it's kind of what you're alluding to, Dante, is can you compete at a high level every second you're on the floor? And I think that's both ends of the floor. Are you giving it everything you can? We had games where we saw him run the floor, like, you know, right down the middle of the floor. He was a rim runner. He posted up, got in. Got an easy bucket or to put pressure on the defense. We didn't always see him do that. So I think for him, that becomes the next step. You know, can you continue to be in top condition? And then where do you take your game, you know, with the skill set you have, where every second you're on the floor, both ends, you're competing at that highest level? And I think, you know, again, that's part of the evolution of these young guys. And I think, you know, that's what the coaches have been talking to, particularly Mo, most of the season about.
You know, Chuma's kind of – oh, go ahead, George.
I was going to say, this is where Jeff Weltman and John Hammond and the staff earn their money, right? Because you look at – there's so many guys on our roster where you look at them and you just have to take a step back and go, well, wow, he's only 21 years old, and wow, this kid's only 20 – and our rosters, 2/3 of those guys are 22, 23 years old. And then you have like a guy like Mo Bamba, who's now a restricted free agent. So it's a hard decision to make based off of what Mo's 4 years have been here. And he definitely improved. And then you look at the end of the year, that just finished, and he's shot 38%+ from three, and he
was top second best on the
league
team.
And top six in the league in block shots. And there probably aren't a lot of guys that can do that combined. So, but then on the flip side of it, like you said, well, you know, are you competing for 48 minutes every night? And so that's like, this is where Jeff and John and those guys, like, I don't envy being in the, in their chair for the decisions like this, especially on these guys that are, boy, you look at them and they're only 22, 23 years old. That's a tough spot.
And they've got other decisions. You got Robin Lopez, Gary Harris. We don't know what becomes of them. Is Terrence Ross back? We hope Human Torch continues here in Orlando. Chuma, I think, flew under the radar this year as well. I think he's got a lot more that he can show if he can have a healthy season. But can we not agree that every team needs a Mo Wagner? I don't know about you guys, but I just feel like going into this year, I just didn't know what to expect with him. And you can look at numbers since the All-Star break. He was as effective as, you know, he was one of the better subs in the NBA, you know, with the minutes he gave you and the productivity that he gave you, and not to mention the fight. And I know, Jeff, we got to harness that for good. And he'll say that too. You know, I gotta find a better way to channel it all the right way. And I think we saw him do a better job of that. But give me a guy, even if he's overcompetitive, give me that guy.
Hey, look, I like that. I like that we have a guy that's a little bit of an irritant.
Yes.
Right. Like, yes. I like that we have a guy on our roster if he was on the other team, you'd be like, God, I hate that guy. Like, I don't like, you know what I mean? But when he's on our side, you're like, man, I love Mo Wagner. I like what he brings to the table. I like when he starts needling
somebody.
Well,
Jeff and David
somebody.
Have said it all year. He's on the scouting report and the fact that you can't take the bait. You know, that's a guy right, that opposing coaches say you can't let this guy get under your skin. I love that.
Yeah, we talk all, you know, like I've always said, you look at really good teams and you guys go back through the years and think about good Magic teams. There's one guy that's a little edgy, right? He's just a little edgy. He just changes things when he's on the floor. Everybody's a little more competitive, has a little bit of fire. You know, it's not uncommon. Dante, you've seen it probably when you visit the huddles on home games, is he's not afraid to jump in the face of his teammates either. No. And, you know, on the court and things like that, keep everybody, you know, focused and things like that. So, and let's not underestimate his value in kind of directing his younger brother in that direction as well. So I think that's he's a keeper, I think, for a lot of reasons.
So you're saying Mo gets an 8-year contract extension is what you're saying?
Well, he's got a team option for next year. Team option. Yeah. I think that'd be great. You'd love to see him back moving forward for sure.
Yeah. I think as long as Franz is here, Mo is here. How about that?
All right. I'm good. I'm good with that.
I like the deal. We'll take them both. We'll take them both. The irritant back in the mid 90s with your team, Jeff. I was just thinking about it. Probably Daryl. Wouldn't you say Daryl was the irritant? He was the guy that was feisty and teams hated to go against. And maybe Matt Barnes in the 09.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say.
There
Matt
you go.
Barnes,
right?
You know,
yeah. But, you know, a guy with an edge and, you know, little just right there on the borderline of going over the too far.
But, I helping or hurting.
You got to have those guys.
I agree. Yeah. Especially this year when you're, you know, you're trying to figure out a hierarchy and you're trying to see what these guys do. I thought he stood out. Okay. Last thing then, if you're a Magic fan, we're going to have the draft coming up. We got the lottery on May 17th. We're going to find out if we got in the top three, do we get the number one pick? It's happened three other times in Magic history. It'd be great. We need a little luck. We'll see if we can get that. And then the draft on June 23rd. But let's say you could have the perfect player, guys. I imagine it's shooting of some kind, maybe at the two. But what is the perfect player? What is the perfect addition to this team to kind of help take the next step here?
Who's going
you
first?
Want to start it?
Or players.
Well, look, here's the thing. Is like all for the last several seasons, you know, you go down and, you know, Dave and I put the numbers together before every game and you look. The thing that stands out to me that we have struggled, we're always at the bottom three, four in the league is shooting, right? Yep. Whatever that's field goal percentage, three-point shooting, effective field goal percentage, true shooting, whatever you want to look at, we've got to get better. Now, that's a responsibility of the current players. Sure. I think Jamal said that in his pregame the other night, that that's going to be an emphasis. But I think, you know, as we add players to the roster, guys, we got to be able, you know, in our league, you've got to be able to score. Defense is great, you know, especially when we're going to see a lot of it in the playoffs. But it's still a game where you have to have more points at the end of the night than your opponents, right?
Yes.
And that means you got to be able to put the ball in the basket. So for me, you know, that's what I'm hoping we add.
You know, I'm going to be watching the lottery. Obviously, we're all going to be watching the lottery. But I'm not really obsessed with the number one pick thing.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, I've watched enough of the college to have my own opinion about, you know, the players that are allegedly the top four or five players in the NBA draft. And if there's any NBA expert, college basketball pro expert that can honestly say with 100% certainty, that guy right there is going to be a Hall of Fame or multiple time NBA All-Star with certainty, then I'd like to meet that guy and find out, you know, how he knows that, because I just can't get a sense for it. I mean, it could be any of, well, look what Franz Wagner did. He was the eighth pick in a strong draft. And I still think he's the best rookie in the NBA this year, from top to bottom, all skill sets thrown in together, which, you know, nobody looks at all of that, but, you know, so I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to obsess about which pick we get. I think we're going to get a player that could end up being the best player in the draft again, whether it's number one, two, three, four, five, or six. So we're going to get another good player. There's no question about that. And he might be the best guy in the draft. He might not. But I don't think anybody can tell you, especially in this draft, that if you get the number one pick, you're going to have an all-star.
Correct.
For sure.
Right.
I don't know. If you guys – I see George nodding. You agree with me, huh?
Well, you literally both said exactly what my answer would have been. I don't care where we pick. I don't care if we picked 15th in the draft.
Yeah.
You just have to pick the right guy. And I agree with Jeff too, to where collectively, and it can't all just fall on this draft pick, right? It's got to be whatever we do in the summer, whether it's player development of the guys that we have, any free agents that we potentially bring in, any rookies that we potentially draft. We have to get better at scoring. We have to get better at putting the ball into the basket. And I agree with what David said too. Like, Franz Wagner was the eighth pick in the draft, and I would argue he's as good as any rookie that was in that class. So to me, that's proof that, okay, yeah, it's great that you get the number one pick, but this is not a draft where there's a generational superstar, can't miss this guy. Oh my gosh, if you get this guy, your franchise has changed for the next 10 years. It, you know, it may turn out that way. You may look back on the draft and be like, well, wow, that guy was amazing. But going into the draft, that's not the way this is, right? And I'm repeating what Jeff and David already said, but that's my mindset going into the offseason and going into next year, is that, like, man, I hope we can get some guys that can shoot the ball. I hope the guys that are on our roster now take the summer and get better at putting the ball in the basket. I hope the guy that we bring in the draft, or the two players we bring in from the draft, can help us put the ball into the basket. We've got the length, we've got the athleticism, we've got the defensive mindset. Like, so these are the things that we need to take that next step forward in where we eventually at some point want to go.
Well, you're set up pretty good.
I think we all agree that we're glad Devin Kennedy is going to get a good strong look.
I agree.
And we're all pretty pumped up just to get the opportunity, see what he might be. Could you have a Seth Curry? Could you have a guy that, you know, is going to be around a long time? He's, you know, you talk about age. He's 25 years old. Well, he's not too old. He might play in the NBA 10 more years. I'll take a guy that can play 10 more years, that can make 40% of his threes and you know, and give you 15 or 20 minutes off the bench.
No doubt.
I'll take that guy. So I'm excited to see what he might be able to do. At least give him a chance, and it looks like we're going to do that.
Well, David, it looks like, you know, every team dusts off a Bryn Forbes or a Patty Mills, or every team has one of those shooters that comes off the bench. We've not had that. So you've got that guy that can at least come in and instantly knock down shots. So, yeah, you're right. It makes it very intriguing and gives him a chance. All right, well, you guys have yourself a great summer. Great job all year on the telecast and the broadcast. And, George, everything with your help with players and throughout the year. And Will we hear from you again before start of next season?
No, or you're asking, look, these two guys are already in the woods.
We're decompressing already.
I'm going to see you. I'm going to see
you. But
they'll
be back. They can't be away for too long.
Will they? I wouldn't come back if I was in the setting. These two, I mean, look at this.
Yeah, it is a nice setting.
Birds chirping and blue sky. It's probably
Dante, I got to say this too. Dante's thing with the fans the other night for the last game of the season, that was great. He had all those fans huddled around the set up at the Amway Center. That was really cool. Well done.
Well, I appreciate that, David.
Before
you know what's interesting?
They
can't get down to David and Jeff as easily, but they can get around us.
Dante, don't you, Jeff?
No, that's not
true. Absolutely.
If they could get to you guys,
the fans, guys,
you guys would be there. But these are all people that you see all year, and it helps put it in perspective.
Great.
The passion that these fans have. It's really amazing.
Listen, David and Jeff, the fans love you, but Dante's got – he's a man of the people now. They're kissing babies, and I think he could be mayor of Windermere in not too far distant future here.
I think that's in his future. Jeff's the mayor of Winter Park.
That's what I'm saying.
So we'll have –
That's right.
The mayor of Winter Park and the mayor of Windermere.
And the commissioner. No power whatsoever. Listen, kudos to you three because you guys are the microphone and beat the drum for the Magic out there every night. And you're the best in the business. So I just want to say that from my seat that Central Florida fans and Magic fans everywhere are really lucky that they get you three on their TVs for 3 hours every night. It's quite a treat to watch. And especially like in a season like this, to the way you guys handle your business, there's nobody better.
Thanks, George. I appreciate it. It's fun working with these guys. I'll tell you that. Two of my best friends. And I think it shows too on the air.
Absolutely.
Yep. We're all pretty tight knit group.
That Dan Eagle though.
And it doesn't mean that.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it's easy at times.
No, but David's disappeared. We won't see him all summer, but he loves us, Dante.
He's your best friend. See you in October.
He's sitting on a chair that he whittled over the weekend.
Hey, you guys are my best friend. See you in 6 months.
See you guys in six
Take
months.
How was
your summer? I'm taking care. All right, good stuff, guys.
Sitting on some moonshine and a styrofoam cup.
But George, you're right.
He's already been to his favorite barbecue spot. I can tell.
These guys are great. We got a great team. Ty keeps it all together, and you got Nick and Q Rich and Bo and Brian Hill. I mean, it's awesome. It's a lot of fun. So we appreciate that. And best of luck, guys. Have a great summer, and we'll be in touch here soon. 4 and 5 months.
See you in October.
See you
See you in October.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.